We hear again from the appointed reading of 1 Timothy 6, where Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the church, it's the day of St. Timothy, pastor and confessor. It rolls around every January 24th. And we might consider what that means as we hear this word spoken to young Pastor Timothy while we are in this world of, how would we even describe it? Turmoil, neighbor against neighbor, political conflict, social media conversations to back people into corners, unapproved voices canceled, marriage of man and woman under attack, family denigrated, and you can add whatever else you would want to that list. And in all of this, what is the church given to do? We know some things for sure. Christians are not given to protest by attacking businesses and burning down buildings, by trespassing property and yelling at people. But when we see the weak and vulnerable not protected from those who bring violence, when we see natural law under daily attack, what is the Church of Jesus Christ given to do? Start our own political party or what? Maybe we can appreciate meeting young Pastor Timothy. Paul placed Timothy as pastor to the church in Ephesus at a time when the world, after all, was under the thumb of Nero. Nero was an effective politician. He raised taxes significantly to fund massive government programs. Nero had neutralized his opposition so that they had no legitimate political voice. And in a master political stroke, he set the classes against each other so that he could take advantage of the conflict. So Nero is an effective politician, at least until he's not, at which point he died, possibly suicide. Government had never been bigger and more invasive, and had never been less interested in protecting the institutions of natural law, such as marriage and family, property and wealth, not to mention the lives of the innocent, than it was under Nero. Abortion of children, they had it. Unnatural marriage of same sex, Nero instituted it. He himself took part in it in an episode that we maybe don't even need to mention what actually happened from the pulpit. And this pastor in Ephesus, young Timothy, Ephesus was a major city in the Roman Empire. In the area that we today think of as Turkey, Ephesus had trade in textile manufacturing, technology, and one of the largest libraries in the world, which at that time would be like having a university. Ephesus was under the authority of Nero, of course, and in the midst of all of this, there's this Church of Jesus Christ in Ephesus and her pastor, young Timothy. So what is Timothy to do? How's the church to thrive in a society that doesn't even know to respect natural law? A society that can't even speak rightly of what it means to be a man or a woman and has lost all sense of family. How does the church live in a society driven by multiple philosophies and government-approved worship and which does not know the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul gives Timothy, we might say, his commission. 1 Timothy 6:13, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things. That's the way Paul starts it. And he's describing the commissioning of young Pastor Timothy. It is a charge or a commission, like a commission into a military office or an authorization to assume an office in government. Paul is not just giving friendly advice or suggestions to a young pastor who needs encouragement. He's placing Timothy into an office and giving him a charge. And by looking at what that charge is, that authorization to young Pastor Timothy, we will see what the Lord sets pastors to do in every generation, and also what the Lord sets us to do as his church. So you can read the whole letter, of course. It starts with the introduction of Paul's letter to Timothy, chapter 1. Remain in Ephesus, Paul says to Timothy, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrines. 1 Timothy 1:3. That is, the first charge to a pastor is to teach and guard the doctrine, and the only doctrine given by Jesus to the apostles. What is this doctrine? Paul spells that out further in the next paragraphs. 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Surely young Pastor Timothy would have been tempted, who wouldn't be after all, to use the pulpit to preach about better tax policy or the need to replace Nero or better government programs. But Timothy was not given that charge. He was put in place to proclaim, Paul says, Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. The charge I entrust to you is the way Paul says it. And what is that charge? In chapter 2, Paul continues, I urge you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Paul charged Timothy to make intercessions to the Lord for all people and for kings and all in authority. Did Timothy not know that that charge for the church to pray for all in authority included Nero? Nero, who had killed his own mother, who practiced himself homosexual marriage, who did not protect the vulnerable, including the child still in the womb? Yes, the church is given to pray also for Nero. How are we as church to pray for a Nero? We might say that we pray for Nero over against Nero. That is, where Nero destroys the family by promoting unnatural marriage, we pray all the more fervently for the well-being of all, for the well-being of all, that Nero would uphold God's orders of creation. Where Nero does not protect the innocent, not even those still in the womb, we pray all the more fervently that the Lord of life would direct Nero to uphold life and extol the value of every person. Where Nero uses his courts and army to trample on and oppress the weak, we pray all the more fervently that Nero would rightly use the sword to protect the innocent and bring justice to the evildoer. We make this extraordinary intercession, after all, to, as Paul describes it, God our Savior, who desires all people to come to the knowledge, to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 2:4. So coming to the end of his letter to young Pastor Timothy, Paul closes with those words that we heard read from the lectern this morning. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6:14. The commandment to keep unstained is the command spoken by Jesus to his apostles to make disciples of all nations by baptizing into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and by teaching all the things, Jesus says, which I have commanded unto you. That is, the apostles and then the pastors whom they appoint are to continue teaching baptism's cleansing for every person, young and old, no sinner left out. And they are to continue teaching of the Lord who comes to his people in his body and blood for the forgiveness of all sin, and to continue proclaiming the gospel of Christ Jesus, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Keep this command from Jesus unstained, Paul says to the pastor. Don't add to it. Don't subtract. That's the commandment the pastor is to be clear about and keep unstained. And it is the commission to the church. We are given the charge to continue praying for those in authority. And when we see them opposing God's good gifts of life and natural marriage and family and home, we pray all the more fervently for our Lord's gifts to come. And when we see them oppressing and being intolerant of those who uphold natural law for the benefit of all, we pray to the Lord all the more tolerantly, or all the more fervently, for his gifts. And we continue in the charge our Lord gives us, for he loves all and desires all people to be saved. For the church, it is about the cross. It's about the forgiveness of sins. It's about the mercy of God, who is the God of life. This is the clarity the Lord gives his church about our purpose in this sinful world. The Large Catechism puts it like this: everything in the Christian church is ordered toward this, that we shall daily receive in the church nothing but the forgiveness of sins through the word and sacraments, to comfort and encourage our consciences as long as we live here. So even though we have sins, the grace of the Holy Spirit does not allow them to harm us, for we are in the Christian church, where there is nothing but continuous, uninterrupted forgiveness of sin. This is because God forgives us, and because we forgive, bear with, and help one another. In the name of Jesus, amen.